General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
In 1961, I spent a few months in Kenya. I stayed with an old friend called Larry Kemp at a place called Langata, 8 miles from Nairobi. Langata is famous for its leopards and an unlucky district for dogs. Larry has lost 4 dogs, all to leopards, in the last 10 years or so. And after his last bitch, Alsatian, was taken shortly before I went to stay with him, he swore he'd never have another. He hunted the cat unsuccessfully for several weeks, and then he gave up. During the next month, what we believed to be the same leopard travelled to Naivasha, 60 miles away, and twice raided the farm of Brian Rawlings on the shores of the lake. The story of this animal and of the human actors involved is a strange one. I have called it Mem Saab and the Witch Cat.
I reckon it's the same one. She's big, Larry. About 8 feet, I'd say.
She?
Yes, a female, all right, didn't you know?
Oh, I never saw the blasted thing. John did at the Three Bells. He chucked some blokes from Nairobi out one night, and the thing ran past his garage. They were so scared, they went back inside and had a few more.
Well, I'd like to get her. Shenzi was a good dog.
You can say that again.
Where did it happen?
Right outside the front door. The poor brute was howling to come in again, and I locked the door. Told him to shut up and went to bed. Next thing I knew, one heck of a row outside. And that was the end of Shenzi.
Oh, well, I've got a stake in this, too. We've lost 2 cows and a calf. Wayne's pretty sore about it. Anyway, let's go in and grab a drink and we'll work something out. All right, we'll go out tonight after.
Huh? Oh, seems to be fine. Who's this?
Oh, I forgot. Come meet Sheila.
Hello.
Hello.
Sheila, this is Larry Kemp up from Nairobi. Larry, my niece. She's come to see Africa for a year or so.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Kemp. Uncle, Wangi says the leopard's going to have babies.
Does he? Well, how does he know?
One of the Maasai saw it 2 nights ago and said it's going to have tootles. You can't shoot it now, can you?
You didn't tell me this, Brian.
I didn't know. When did Wangi tell you?
Oh, just now. Oh, you won't kill it if it's got babies, will you?
Well, let's go inside and get that drink.
Has Mr. Kemp seen the eland yet? I took some pictures this morning down by the lake.
1961 was the year of the great floods. And for the next week, there was a solid deluge in the Naivasha district. Sheila Rawlings spent most of the time learning all there is to know about leopard and trying to persuade both her uncle and Larry Kemp that it was morally wrong to kill an animal in young. The rain stopped, and with the end of the rain came news of the leopard. A Maasai herdsman, dressed in a blanket and a City of London bowler hat, a little battered from life in the bush, came one morning and informed Rawlings that another calf had been lost. The killer was the leopard. They set out just before 9 o'clock and reached the kill an hour later in the scrub by a Maasai village at the foot of Mount Longanut.
Why can't I come? It'll be all right.
Look, with half a spear in her rump, she's going to be a nasty thing, Sheila. I don't want you around.
Oh, she'll be okay, Brian.
What a lot of support I get from you, friend. Don't you ever tell your mother, that's all.
Well, she does know I'm in Africa, you know, not Worthing.
I don't know whether it's going to be easier now she's wounded or worse. She'll be weaker, that's for sure. Let's go, Wangi.
Do well.
Oh, dew's mostly gone from the grass. So it shouldn't be too difficult.
You know, I think we're wrong about her being preggers. Look at the pug marks. She's not carrying young. She'd be sinking further if she was.
Now, what about that, Wangi? Bwana Kemp says she's not in young. No, Watoto.
No, Bwana. No. Before, Watoto.
She's had them, then.
Could be.
You're not going to kill her now that she's...
That's enough, Sheila, or Wangi will take you back.
Watch it.
What?
I thought, no, it's okay. We'll need to wade through the river. There was nothing in this last time I was up here. Dry as old boots.
Mm. Come on, Sheila. Up.
I can paddle through with you.
You better not.
Look, I'm not a baby, you know.
Quiet. Well,
in the reeds. It didn't come as far as I thought. Keep down, Sheila.
All right.
You get across the other side, Wanky.
Do one.
Good. Careful now. She's done. Cardi.
Good one.
Uncle. Shh. Is Cardi fierce?
Yes. Now shut up or I'll dump you. Wanky's across. She knows we're here, all right.
Yeah. Look out. There she goes. She's across the river. Wanky!
Anna!
You'll have to shoot, Brian, or she's going to make a mess of him.
Come on!
Oh,
you devil, you! She's a big one by the look of her. Not worth getting one game mucked up for, though.
He's tough. Sorry, Wangi. Let's see what she did to you.
They'll put cover one.
Dead as a doornail, Wangi. You better get you back. She's made a mess of his arm, Larry.
Oh, yes. We'll get him down to Nairobi.
Have to, as we take him over to Prospect Farm.
Oh, you poor old man.
All right. Up. Easy does it, old son. There.
What have you got there, Sheila?
The leopard's babies. Aren't they sweet?
It's true.
Oh, they're only a week old, Sheila. They'll die.
They haven't even got their eyes open.
I'll send some of the boys back to skin the leopard. It'll be okay there for a while.
They got Wangi back to the farm, and Brian Rawlings drove him to the hospital in Nairobi. Whilst the girl tried to feed the leopard cubs with warm milk from a baby's bottle, a female leopard, 8 feet and a half in length, coloured pale fawn and rufous, sniffed at the body of her mate by the swollen river. She went into the reed bed and searched for her cubs. She padded round and round in circles, leapt the river, sniffed at the dead male, and picked up the scent of the humans. She lifted her head and seemed to look towards Mount Longonot, the old volcano. 2 miles away, her 2 cubs were being forcibly fed upon the milk of cows. The mother was heavy with her own milk, and it was time the cubs were suckled. With a bound, she was across the river again, and after the spoor of the men and the girl.
Be all right, Mr. Kemp.
I don't know, Sheila. They're pretty young, you know.
They've had some milk, but I don't think it's enough for them.
Brian should be back by 6 or 5:30, Sheila. I'm going down to the inn to see Jack Seeger. Tell him I'll probably bring Jack back, will you? I'll only be away an hour.
All right.
Lock up, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be okay, won't you?
This one's trying to suck my finger. What? Oh, yes, I'll be fine. I'll tell Uncle Brian.
Right. Cheerio.
Come on, bedtime. Sleep now, more milk tomorrow. There you are.
Mamsa?
Oh, hello, Angiko. Are you going, huh?
Dio, Mamsa.
Look.
You should not keep them here, Mamsa.
Why not? They die on their own.
One day they will be big and be Kali's son.
Well, they're not now. You've got no mummy, have you, babies? Come on, bedtime. I lock the back door after you, Angiko.
Santa Sana, Mensa. Mensa, it is bad to keep them here.
Why?
Trouble will come, Mensa.
Oh, don't be silly. Of course it won't. Good night, Angiko.
Kwaheri, Mensa.
The moon rose over Lake Naivasha. The eland that Brian Rawlings was building into a herd huddled together under the thorn trees. The dog Borivos was crouched, trembling under a small wooden house where 2 turkeys were waiting for Christmas. A few yards from the shore, growing, it seemed, out of the lake, was a single orange tree ruined by the floods. Naivasha was still that night. Still, but for the great fawn cat that prowled by the yellow trees.
Uncle Brian? Is that you? I thought I heard him. No! No! Go away! Go away!
Rawlings delivered Wenge to the hospital in Nairobi, but he didn't return to Naivasha at once. He made a few calls, picked up some supplies, and then sat talking with friends in the Donovan Mall theatre bar. It was getting dark when he passed the Ngong Hills on the road back to the farm. He reached the crossroads before the train crossing in Naivasha at 6:30, and ignoring the turning up to the farm, he drove to the Bell Inn. Kemp was there.
Jim O'Brien, just been telling Jack here about the cat.
My boys tell me it was a big male, Brian.
Male? No, it was a female. We found the cubs.
Funny. Jirogi knows his leopard. He went with your boys to skin it. Skin's at our place at the moment. I'll send it over in the morning. What are you having?
Beer, please. I don't get it. If they say it's a male, they must be right. We found the cubs. It's the same animal that was down at Langata last month. Took Larry's dog.
Three beers, John, please. Yes, I heard about the dog. Well, there it is. You've got a male there, Brian. Big one, too.
Well, then where did the cubs come from?
What did you do with them?
All right, back at the farm. She was looking after them. I don't know whether they'll live or not.
Hard to say. They're at the house, you say?
Yes. How long have you been in here, Ian?
Years. About 2 hours, I think. We'll go back...
No, I think I'll go back now.
Hey, what about your beer, man? What's up?
Well, I don't know. Nothing, I expect. See you in a minute. Oh, come up. If you like a jack, will you?
Wait, I'll come with you. Hey, what is this? I'll get stoned if you leave me here with three beers.
Sheila? What the devil's happened?
Sheila.
Oh, come on, girlie. What's the matter? She fainted or something?
Uncle. Oh, Uncle. I was so frightened.
No, it's all right, girlie. It's all right. Okay, come on, come on. Now, can you stand up? Come on. Bring that chair here a minute, will you, Larry?
Sure.
No, it's all right. Uncle, the cub's mother. She came to the door. I saw her through the window.
Oh, I had a feeling. Yeah, come on, come sit down. Now, don't worry, it's all right now. There's nothing out there now.
But I thought you killed her. Why did she come back? Oh, Uncle, she tried to get in.
I've seen a few leper before, but I've never known one of the brutes this cute.
Well, it can happen.
She may quit the district now. Anyway, we'll have a look in the morning. You just never can tell with leopards.
You never can tell with leopards. In the early hours of the morning, the same animal came across a solitary Maasai a mile from the Rawlings' farm. No one knows what the man was doing in the bush at that hour. No one ever found out, for the beast killed him. He had no time to use his spear, and his cries were heard by no one save the wind and the frogs in the lake. The wind blew a little harder, and the frogs didn't care. Rawlings and Kemp had a fruitless search the next day. There was some rain, and they lost the tracks. The news of the dead native reached them at 4:00, but it was the news of an hour after that had shocked everyone at Rawlings's farm.
All right, Wanjika, stop shouting. Tell me clearly what happened.
He was sitting, Bwana.
Where?
By the water, Bwana. He played. It was not in the night. He was happy.
I phoned the DC, Brian. He's coming across. Do you think she'll come back to the body?
I don't know. Wanjika.
Bwana.
Now, listen to me.
I told the Memsahib Kitoko it was bad to have the little ones here in the house. That is why my daughter is dead. That is why. It is bad.
Wanjika, this is a terrible thing to happen. I'm sorry. With all my heart, I'm sorry. Listen, this animal must be killed. I'm going to ask a terrible thing of you, Wanjika. You want your son buried, I know. But I want you to leave him where he died.
Bwana?
I want you to leave him by the water where he died, just for tonight.
Bwana? Sammy must be put into the ground. He must be put into the ground today.
I must ask you to do this thing, Wanjiko. Otherwise, we may never kill this animal. Do you understand?
If he is not put into the ground, he will never go to heaven.
He will. That I promise you. It's just for tonight, Wanjiko. We want the leopard to come again, do you understand? We want the leopard to come again so that we can kill it. Then it'll never kill. Never kill another Ntoto.
It will come to eat Sammy, Bwana.
We'll kill it before it eats him, Wanjiko. You have my word.
Bwana, Mungu...
Mungu will be very pleased with Sammy. He'll take him to heaven, and he'll say, Sammy, you have done a brave thing. Even in death, you have cheated the big cat of other deaths.
This will happen, Bwana.
I promise. Sammy will be buried before the sun tomorrow, even if the leopard doesn't come.
Sharia Mungu, Puan.
Yes, Wanjiko. Sharia Mungu. It is the will of God.
But the leopard did not return. She didn't wish to eat the men she killed. She wanted her cubs. Even when she forgot about her cubs, she still wished to kill. At a village the other side of the old volcano, another child was killed. The cubs were put out in the bush on several occasions, and Rawlings waited for the mother to come for them. But now, it seemed, she'd forgotten her offspring and remembered only the need to kill. A week passed.
Are you going out with the policeman in the D.C. tomorrow, Uncle?
Yes, but I'm going out tonight, too.
To watch the trap?
Yes.
Do you think there's much hope of getting it into a trap?
Perhaps.
And it's all my fault.
What is?
Those little boys being killed. And the man. All this trouble. Poor Wanjiko. She says she'll never forget Sammy. She says...
Sheila, that's enough. Of course she won't forget Sammy, but the pain won't always be so great. She's got five more, for heaven's sake, and there's more where they came from. Now stop fretting over Sammy.
Anyway, we won't have any more trouble.
What do you mean?
Wanjiko said it was bad to have the cubs here. She said it was because they were here that everyone has died. She said her god in Kilimanjaro was displeased that leopards, which are the enemies of her people, should be taken into her house. She said they had to die.
Well, they don't have to die at all. When they're old enough to leave, we'll send them up to Narok and they can be kept on Ford Jamison's farm. He's got a sort of zoo and...
They're dead already.
What do you mean?
I drowned them.
Well, there was no need for that, you know.
I loved them so dearly. But when Chico said...
All right, girlie, all right. Look, Jack Seeger's coming over tonight. He won't be alone again any night I'm out until Aunt Mary comes.
I don't mind being alone anymore. If the leopard comes back, it just means that I've got to be killed, that's all.
Oh, don't be stupid. Think what you're saying before you speak. I know how you're upset by this business, but... Well, it's no good being like this. I think you'd better go down to Nairobi for a while until this is all over.
I'd rather not.
Well, I think you should. You can go back with Larry.
I'm not going with Larry. I'm not going anywhere with anyone. I'm staying here. And if the leopard wants to kill me, it can, because I don't care. It was my fault that Sammy died, and the other little boy died too. Everything's my fault. All the unhappiness.
Stop it, you're not a cage girl. I don't be...
I want to be killed. I want the thing to bite and bite.
Stop it!
Don't you ever do that again.
Hard cheese for the goat. That should be okay. I hope we get the brute before he gets the goat. If not, well, too bad. It's more at stake than the goat now.
You know, I've been thinking, how the heck...
I know what you can say. How didn't we notice that it was the male that attacked Wangi, that it was the female that was still running around?
Yes.
Larry, I don't know. Sort of mistake was so darned obvious, so confoundedly elementary. I don't know. I never thought I'd ever make a mistake like that. Poor old Sheila thinks it's all her fault. Well, I'm to blame if anyone is.
How deep's the pit?
About 8 feet, 10 feet long by about 7. I thought if I got the boys to put up this fence round 3 sides of the goat, the leopard won't be able to do anything but approach from the 4th side.
A bit of a long shot, isn't it?
Well, of course it's a long shot. How the devil else can we get the thing? We'll go on looking for it, but in the meantime we'll try this. The cat's been around here. Keeps coming back. Night to night.
But the cat didn't return. Not that night. Not during the following 2 nights. The trap in the clearing, 2 miles from Longanot village, was forgotten. The top of the trap was covered by stakes of wood and grass, but the goat had been taken away. It was after the long rains that Rawlings' niece found the pug marks around the trap late one afternoon. She returned immediately to the farm.
Wangi! Wangi!
Do you, ma'am,
sir? I want a goat.
A goat? Why do you want a goat?
I want to look after it and teach it to like me. You can do that with goats, you know. They follow you around just like a dog. Well, can I have one?
There is a little one in the bowl.
Oh, but promise you won't say anything to Uncle Brian. You won't, will you? I want to train it, you see, and then surprise him.
I will not say, ma'am, sir.
Sheila!
Shh! Remember what you promised. Don't tell him. All right, coming! Come on, Boris. Come on, Boris.
Sheila Rawlings left the farm late in the afternoon. She left ostensibly to visit the Burtons' estate 2 miles down the Naivasha Road. She took with her the 2-2 rifle her uncle had given her and waited near the cattle boma until Wangi had gone to bring in the cattle. She then went to fetch the goat. But the goat had gone. Mwangi had forgotten his promise and had taken it away.
Well, I'll have to use another sort of bait then. You've got to come tonight, Leopard. You've just got to. Poor old uncle. He's trying so hard to pretend I fit in. But he knows I don't. After tonight, though, I will. I will.
And then, when he got on the blooming bus, he found he didn't have any money to pay the fare because he got his pajamas on.
Hello, Jack.
Hello,
Brian.
Are you taking Sheila home?
Sheila? Sheila, no. Where? Why?
Well, she's over at your place, isn't she?
No, of course she... Well, she wasn't when I left. Should she be?
Sheila was not the Burtons. She was sitting in the bush at one end of an alley of thorn and bamboo. In front of her was a pit covered with stakes and grass. She was her own bait, in her own leopard hunt.
Now, hello, Rawlings here. No, I haven't. Yes, I've tried everywhere around here. What? No, I'm on to them as soon as I put this down. Yes, sure, bye.
As Brian Rawlings finished talking to Kevin Sellers at Elementaita, the leopard they had hunted 2 months previously, and almost forgotten, was standing in the darkness a mile and a half from the village of Longanot. It sniffed the night, and padded swiftly in the direction of a clearing it remembered from another hunt the night before. There had been a certain human smell there, a smell it connected with some past tragedy it had ceased to remember. But it remembered the smell.
She wouldn't have been such a fool. After all, I've told her.
It's about all I can think of now. She definitely knew where the pit was.
Yes, she came with me when we fixed it up first. Anyway, the animal hasn't been seen for weeks. There's no chance of it being around there. So why the heck should she... Oh, all right, let's go and have a look. David Burton's out too. The police have gone to the lake. We'll go on foot from here. It's only half a mile or so.
The girl was still, very still. A kind of numbness had descended upon her. It was as if she'd been for a long time in deep snow and could no longer move. The leopard was still too. The crickets were still, as if in anticipation of tragedy. The leopard moved slowly forward and crouched, the front of its body 3 feet over the trap. Sheila opened her mouth slowly, the first sign that she was alive for more than 5 minutes. She tried to lick her dry lips, but there was no saliva in her mouth. Her muscles ached. A great weariness threatened to make her sleep. Sleep. She raised the 2-2. How many leopard had been killed with a 2-2? How many? The rifle weighed 20 pounds. 30 pounds. The rifle was as heavy as Africa. As the world. And the leopard sprang as the covering of the trap gave way. The leopard was in the trap, and the girl above the trap fired into the darkness within the trap. And by chance, by mischance, by luck, by permission of nature, the final bullet penetrated the cat's brain, and she died in the pit, not as her cubs had done, by water, but by lead and gunpowder. Kenya, Brian Rawlings said Worthing wouldn't suit her anymore. She's very famous amongst the natives on her uncle's farm. They call her the Mem Sahib who killed the witch cat. For if any animal kills and lives too long, despite many huntings, superstitions always arise. But be that as it may, Sheila Rawlings belongs to Kenya today.